Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Pei Dalad. Begin on the bottom of Pei Gimel Beis, two lines up on the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara begins the Gemara with a halachic statement from Rav Chisda that relates back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentioned in the Seifa that there are arba midas b'maychen. There are four different types of situations regarding a sale, regarding who could back out if and when. That is, one situation is where the buyer could back out only. Another one was only the seller could back out. One was neither could back out. One where both could back out. So relating to those halachas, the Gemara brings the following teaching from Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says as follows. It says, Mocher lo yishava chamish b'sheish. If someone sells something to somebody that's really worth five, but he sells it to him for six, so let's say it's dollars, he sells them for it's something, it's really worth five, and he ends up charging him six. Now it's the consumer who was frauded, which is known as the term of oino, by a sixth, but not a sixth of the product, but rather a sixth of the money. Because from the six ma'od that he gave to the seller, he really should have given him only five, because the value of the object was only five. Now the significance of that, what's called oino of shtus of ma'is, is in contrast like the next case the Gemara is going to bring, when something was worth six, and it was sold for five, that's actually a shtus of mekach. It's a sixth of the object, where the seller was, he got frauded, a sixth of the value of the object, because it was really worth six, and he sold it for five. So our case is not talking about regarding oino of the mekach, it's oino of the ma'is. Now the significance of this is that Rav Chisda considers that oino, and therefore, regarding both these cases, he says whoever was nis'ana, whoever was the one that got frauded, could back out. And the reason is because he holds like Shmuel. Because this is actually Machlokes Rav and Shmuel in Perek HaZav, on Daf Mem Tes Beis, where even says Shmuel, and so to hold Rav Chisda, that a sixth of the money is also what we learned is the halacha of Aino. Because it doesn't make a difference if Aino, which is a fraud, which the halacha of a sixth, which then if that applies to the monies, or a shtus of mekach, which everyone agrees to, where even Rav agrees that that's if the object was worth six and it was sold for only five, or the other way, that that's going to be considered aino, and therefore whoever was the one that got frauded could back out. Now this is, says Shmuel over there, is as we learned in the Mishnah Bav Metzia, where the Mishnah says that whoever had the aino imposed upon him, he has the upper hand. Now it's taught in the Braisa, like Shmuel and Rav Chisda over there in Perek HaZav, where it says that the one who had the aino on him, he has the upper hand, says the Braisa, what's the case? So if let's say he sold him something that was worth five for six, which is this case that Shmuel is describing, that Rav Chisda is describing over here, it says the Braisa, who got frauded? It was the consumer. So it says the Braisa, he has the upper hand. If he wants to, he could say, give me back my money. I don't want this to be a transaction at all. Or just give me back what I was frauded. Same thing in the other way. Let's say he sold him something worth six and he only sold it for five. Who was frauded? It was the seller. So the seller has the upper hand. If he wants, he could say, give me back my money, or just what was frauded. Now, points out Rashbam, actually the halacha does not follow like Rav Chisda, rather like Rav, who paskins over there, that the halacha is by a shtus, when the fraud is sixth, then actually the transaction does go through, and it just he has to give back the money that was frauded, what was over or undercharged. However, Rav Chisda in our Gemara, who again is like Shmuel, is going like that Stam Mishnah over there that was brought over there, that whoever has the one that was frauded, he has the upper hand, and therefore he could back out. Now, that's what Rav Chisda's halacha is coming to say, that where he sold him something that was worth five, and he charged him six, where then, as we said, that the consumer got frauded, and he could back out, again, not like Rava, but like the Stam Mishnah over there in Perek HaZav. Now, how much time does he have to back out? So there the Gemara says over there in Perek HaZav, as the amount of time that it takes for him to show a merchant or to his relative, that's how much time he has to back out. So regarding such a case, says Rav Chisda, where again, as we're saying, that one point is Rav Chisda like Shmuel, where even though here it's a shtus of the mammon, that's considered also the halachas of Aino, and like that Stam Mishnah over there that he could back out, but continues Rav Chisda in describing the case that he's talking about. Now, v'hukar, in that amount of time that he could still back out, again, the consumer has a limited amount of time to back out from a sale that he was frauded on, but in that amount of time, the actual price of the value, which again was really five, but it was charged to him for six, actually went up in price, v'amad al shemayna, and went up to, and its actual value went from five, and actually was worth eight mana. Now, that means to say that actually at the end of the day, the seller is the one who is frauded. Not really frauded, but he's the one that's really taking a loss, which is even more than a sixth of a difference, which in general cases would actually be a bitul mekach, would actually void the entire sale at all. Whereas Rashbam points out that that's just saying an extra chiddush of saying that it's even the case of bitul mekach, but the truth is he could have said the case even if it went from its real value of 5 up till 7, where that would have been at least a case of a fraud of a sixth of the money, where again, then in regular halach, if that would have happened at the time of the seller would also be able to back out. It's just saying even the bigger chiddush, even if it went up more than 7, went up to 8, where in general cases, if that was at the time of the sale, the seller would be allowed to back out, and anyone would be allowed to back out if it's a total voiding of the sale. Now, since it went up to 8 before the buyer backed out, the seller now wants to back out because the sale wasn't totally finished, validated in totality, as long as the buyer could back out because he didn't yet show it to a merchant or to his relative. Now, therefore, since it was in that time span that now the seller feels like he's losing out, he's getting ripped off in some sense because it went up to 8 and he was only selling it for 6, so he wants to back out because now they're both getting frauded. That's what Rav Chisda says, that no, the seller cannot back out in that case. Because, minasana, who was the one that got frauded originally at the time of the sale? It was the lekeach, it was the consumer, because at the time of the sale it was only worth 5, and he was charging 6. So therefore, lekeach yechalach zabai. So the consumer could back out as long as he wants to, within that time frame that he has to show to a merchant or to his relative. But v'lay meicher. But the seller cannot back out, because actually he was the one that was doing the frauding. He was the ma'ana. He was charging something worth 5, he was charging 6. So he has what's called the lower hand. And even though the sale was not finalized yet at that time, when he's also losing out now, it doesn't make a difference. Why? Explains Rav Chisda. Mishum because we continue on top of Pedal and Alev, the Amar Lei, because the consumer could tell the seller, look, Ilu Loi Ainisa. If it were that you had not defrauded me at the time of the sale, so then the sale would have been valid. I already did a kinyan, I already bought it. Now, Loi have a matzah's hadribach, and that lacha would have been that you would not have been able to back out, even if it would have gone up later on, like in this situation that it went up. So therefore, says the buyer, sahashtu doinis, and now that you frauded me, it was really worth 5, and you charged me 6. So I get a certain time span to be able to back out. So matzah's hadribach, now you think you're going to be able to back out yourself? Well, because you frauded me, and the chum gave me time to back out if I want to, so I have the upper hand. Now you think you're going to be able to go back out because now the price went up and you're going to have the upper hand? That's like a sinner gaining, because the whole reason why anyone could back out over here is only because you frauded me. If there was no fraud, then the sale was already done. I could only back out because of the inah, where you charged me 6 instead of 5. Now that it went up to 8, even though my time spent on backing out is still available, you can't go ahead and back out now because the whole reason was because you frauded me in the first place. For sure, you don't have that right to do that now. Says the Gemara of a Tana Tuna. And the truth is that we learned support for this halacha from the Tana of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, this is one of the 4 halachas that we described of the Arba Midas B'Meicher, is if Yafis V'Nimtzu Rois, if they were allegedly selling good produce, and it turned out that it was inferior produce, so the consumer got frauded, says the Mishnah. So that's one case with Lekech Yochalach Zabai, where only the buyer could back out, V'Loi Meicher, and not the seller, even though that, as Rashbam points out, that's what the Gemara's element is saying over here, and this is what the Gemara is proving from our Mishnah, because if it must be talking about that it went up in price. And so therefore, the Meicher would want to say, I want to back out, because why would he want to back out if he's selling inferior produce for the price of high-quality produce? So therefore, says the Gemara, must be that our Mishnah is alluding to the halacha of Rav Chisda, where even though it went up in price and the buyer is in his time span when he could back out, what we see from the Mishnah is that even so, the only one that could back out is the buyer, not the seller, because again, the buyer says the only reason why anyone could back out over here is because you frauded me, therefore, although I could back out, you definitely do not have the opportunity to back out. A similar halacha, v'am Rav Chisda. It says, Machale Shava Sheish B'Chamish, and this refers to the other halacha of our Mishnah, which those are the first 2 halachas of our Mishnah regarding when the buyer could only back out and when only the seller could back out. So now Rav Chisda says a case of Machale Shava Sheish B'Chamish. If let's say something that was worth 6 was only sold for a price of 5. So this is where everyone would agree that this would be considered a Ayinah, because it's a sixth of the value of the object, which the same thing would be if it was worth 7 that was sold for 6, where again, because according to Rav Chisda, the same halacha would apply even if it's only a sixth of the money, not a sixth of the value of the object. But either way, it went, so there was the one who got frauded in this case was the seller. Now, then the huzlu, then at a later point in time, the value of the object actually went down. And now the buyer wants to back out because the sale wasn't yet validated. Because the, as the Gemara says in Perek HaZav, the seller could always back out. He doesn't have that limitation like the buyer has to show it to a tagger or to his relative. And the Amdal Gimel, it went down to such a price that it was actually only worth 3. Which, as Rashbam points out, the Gemara could have easily just said it went down to 4, which would have also been bitl nekach, but it's saying that it went down to a very low price. So the buyer wants to back out. And that says the Rav Chisda, but Minasan, who's the one that got frauded? Again, it was something worth 6 that was originally sold for 5. It was the meicher, it was the seller. He was the one that really, the value was really 6, and he was losing the value of a 6th in his sale. So therefore says Rav Chisda, meicher yochel achzav bayu b'loy lekech. So the only one that can back out is the seller, and not the consumer. The amar lei, because the seller could tell to the buyer, look, ilaloy nisan, if it wasn't that you had frauded me in when you paid me much less than what the value was, lahava matzis hadrizbach, you would not have been able to back out because it was a total sale. Now you think you could back out, now that I could back out because you frauded me, you think now that the price went down and you're saying, hey, you're paying way too much because you're paying 5 when it's only worth 3 now, you think you could back out? Of course not. Says the Gemara of Tana Tuna, and the Tana of our Mishnah supports this from the next halacha of our Mishnah. It said, if roiz v'nimtzu yafois, if they were allegedly selling inferior quality, it turns out what was sold was actually high quality. Says the Mishnah, the only one that can back out is the seller, not the buyer, because the seller is the one that's losing out, and not the buyer. So you see clearly, although, which, and that's what the Rashbam had mentioned before, must be talking about that, because why would the buyer want to back out? He actually got more than what he bargained for. Is even if it went down in price, in the meantime, he can't back out, because the only reason why this was allowed to even back out was because of the inah of the meicher and not the lekech. No, actually, the Gemara asks, so my kamash malan. So actually, what is Rav Chisda teaching us? Masnitni. This is the halacha of our Mishnah, as we pointed out. There is no real chiddush in the Mishnah unless we say it's alluding to Rav Chisda's concept. So what do we need Rav Chisda if it's already mentioned in our Mishnah? So says the Gemara, ima masnitin, had we only known this halacha in the Mishnah, sahavimina, I would have thought to say that dilma de Rav Chisda, that actually maybe the halacha of Rav Chisda, which is talking about a case when there's aina, when there's fraud, then tarvayu matzah hadribhu, then actually maybe in that situation, actually both the meicher and the lekech in both cases would be able to back out. Now the reason for that is because since the one who originally was frauding ended up getting frauded himself, meaning in that interim time when the one who was getting frauded could back out, and since, as we explained, the sale is not totally finished until the limitation is up or whenever the situation is, and in that interim period, the ma'ana was himself nisana, so therefore both of them could back out. Maybe that's what we would say. Because regarding to the Mishnah, and we'll first explain according to the Girsa, as the Bach explains of the Rashbam, and then the way our Girsa and the Gemara actually has it, which is how Tosa brings from the Ri. Masnitin, and the Girsa goes, taking out the words ha'as lashem inon, actually inserting the words hainu taima, and the reason of the halacha, the Mishnah, is where there is talking about where there is no ayna. Rather, it's sold according to its value. Now he's claiming that I don't want these. Whether either way, when it would be the seller or the buyer, regarding when it was originally supposed to be high quality and inferior quality, or inferior sold high quality. Now, so therefore, let's say in the case of when it was allegedly supposed to be high quality, and it turns out that it was inferior quality. So continues the Gemara, as actually the Bach takes out these words, but in the Rashbam, the reading is saying these words essentially, to the kech yochel achzaboy, where the consumer could back out. Why could he back out? Because he could say, wait a second, what did I request, what did I want to buy from you? High quality. And what I get from you, inferior quality. So it's a mekach tois, it's a mistaken acquisition, and the whole thing is void. Now, but if, and this is what the Gemara is saying, what we would not know regarding the halacha of Rav Chisda, but if let's say the seller wants to back out and to say that I also want to back out, and because it's a mekach tois, you're right, it's a mekach tois. And the reason why he wants to back out is because of the price change. It says no. The lekech could tell him it's not a mistake because I also bought it with the assumption that it was going to be inferior quality. Why? What do you mean? We made up, I was going to sell you high quality. What do you think you were buying that in assumption was going to be inferior quality? So this gear, so the Rashbam takes out the next word, the Sokata Techamina, and continues, Mishum Dechsev, because it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ra, Ra, Yoim Harkoine. The buyer says that it's bad, that it's bad. Now, same thing is regarding to the case of the Seifa, where if it was what they were allegedly selling was bad, and it turns out that it was good stuff. So, yes, as the Mishnah says, that only the seller could back out, because he could say that I made a mistake and I didn't intend to sell this high quality stuff. But if the consumer comes to make this same claim, and the reason why he's making the claim, as we said, because the wheat actually went down the price, and he wants to tell him, like, look, these are not the ones I sold you, and that he says that, no, you actually purchased it with the chazaka that it was inferior. In other words, I did not mislead you, because I sold it to you with the chazaka that they were high quality. Because what does a seller say? He always says, oh, it's good stuff, it's good stuff, it's good stuff. So therefore, in both these cases, regarding if it was originally Yafa and then Ra, or Ra then Yafa, the one who actually got frauded, where it's not what he expected, then yeah, he could back out. But the other one, we'd actually say that, as the Mishnah says, he cannot back out. Why not? Because you weren't for it. It's not a mekech tois. What do you mean it's not a mekech tois? It's I didn't give you what you were asking for. And he wants to get out because the price changed. So it's not true. No, this is exactly what I expected. But what do you mean? Didn't I tell you I'm selling you good stuff? Yeah, but the buyer says, what do you think I was saying all along? I was saying it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. So I knew it was bad. And same thing in the reverse. The seller's saying, oh, I was saying all along it's good, it's good, it's good. In other words, although that they made up one thing, but they're always saying, the seller always says it's good, and the buyer always says that it's bad. And therefore, he could say that I knew this, and therefore what you were selling me was not a mekech tos, and therefore I could back out, he could make such a claim, but you cannot make such a claim. Now, however, regarding the case of the Einah of a sixth of the case of Chizda, where a person doesn't know the value of what he bought until he shows it to the merchant, there he cannot make such a claim of Ra Ra Yom Ra Kanya that the buyer could say, oh, what do you mean? I always knew that it was bad, and I knew that I was overpaying the price. Because not true, because in other words, that's the similar parallel to the case of the Mishnah. We're saying, yo, don't worry. I knew that it was bad all along, and I was saying that all along. That's not true by the case of Einah, because had he known, he would never have paid that higher rate. He would have paid the actual value, because a person is believed to say that I knew the quality that you, I know. Although we made up high quality, that however I knew that you're going to sell me inferior, even though I still made up I was going to buy it because it's at least equal to the value of how much I'm paying. So I intended to buy it, but in this situation, he's not believed to say that if he's going to make such a claim, oh, that I knew that there was a no, and I made up, I'm going to go ahead and buy it anyway, because that most definitely people do not do, and that's why in the case of Rav Chisda, we actually would say that he would not be able to go ahead and make such a claim. That's why we need the halacha of Rav Chisda, which is based upon a totally different principle, which is this halacha of like Rashbam said earlier, of Ein Chayt Nisker, where it's only that he can back out because of he was defrauded, but we can't allow the other one. Again, we're in contrast to the halacha of the Mishnah, where, as we just explained, it's based upon a totally different principle, and that's why you need the halacha of Rav Chisda too. Now, but actually the Ri, it translated a different way according to the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, that the understanding of the Gemara is that according to Rav Chisda, in his cases, the Gemara says we would have assumed that actually maybe both of them would be able to back out. Why? Because you would not know the halacha from the Mishnah at all. Because maybe you could explain the halacha of the Mishnah that actually, not like we had assumed, that it has to be talking about what else would be the chiddush of the Mishnah, that it must be that it went up or down, and that's why the other party would want to back out. They were saying he can't back out. No. It's actually not talking about that it goes up or down. So if you're going to say, so then what's the chiddush of, which that goes with according to the girsa of our Gemara, where ha'as lashm inan, so then what it actually is the chiddush of the Mishnah teaching us then? So that's what the Gemara says, that no, you need it because you would have thought to say that when they're high quality and it turns out that it's inferior quality, that actually no one could back out, even the lekech, because he knows that they're bad. Because although that the seller said that they're good, that's because he knows that, what does the seller always say? He says it's good, it's good, it's good. And the same thing regarding the Sefer, which the Gemara says that when he says he's bad, is because he says bad, it's bad, it's bad. But none of them believe the other one. And therefore, we would think that neither the buyer nor the seller could back out in any of such situations. That's Kamash Mulan. That's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Where, yes, teaching us actually a Chiddush the other way. That actually, the one who gets frauded could actually back out. And it's considered fraud. Even though the other party was saying, we would think, okay, but that's what they always say. It's not considered fraud. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. That's the halacha of the Mishnah, where again, according to either interpretation, the halacha of Rav Chisda is necessary, and you wouldn't automatically know that from the halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of our Mishnah that said, continuing on to the fourth category, which was Shechamsis, if let's say someone made up that he's going to buy red wheat, v'nimtzis levana, and it turns out it's white wheat, and all the other chula, it's cases in the Mishnah, which that's a mekech tois, and there either party could back out. Now, Amar Rav Papa, he makes the following inference. He says, "Midigtani levana," from the fact that it, when it's talking about that he wanted to buy shechamsis, and it turns out that it was actually the wrong type was actually white wheat. So Shema Mino, he says, what you could infer from there is that obviously the case of shechamsis is talking about red wheat, but not that it is black wheat. Now, the reason for that is because although the word shecham could sometimes mean black, because there's actually two different types of colors of wheat, and there's no more. There's white and there's red. And for the fact that we're calling the other type of wheat white, obviously the other type that's called shechamsis must mean that that's the type that's called red wheat. Now, so why is it called red wheat? Why? Where does it come to shechamsis come in? It's because hai shimshu sumaktihi, the sun is red. And that's why they called the red wheat shechamsis from the word of the chama, which is red. And Teda says the Gemara, you should know this, that the sun is red, and that's why we're calling the red wheat shechamsis, is because the kosam kutsafra ofanya. We see the sun as red in the even in the morning and in the evening, so we know that the sun is red, and that's what we're calling this type of wheat shechamsis. Now says the Gemara, "V'haydla k'chazina kuli yaima." So why is it that we don't see the sun all day as red? Because nahayin hu delay bari. It's because our eyesight is not so clear from the light of the day, which diminishes our vision. But in the morning and the nighttime, when the day is dark, then it's recognizable, the redness of the sun. Now, this is because Rav Papa is just coming to explain the halacha of the Mishnah, why is it called shechamsis? Now, actually, Meisvi, the Gemara actually asked on this interpretation, the following brisa. The brisa is going on the halacha of Nagoyim, which quotes a pasuk in Vayikra, this in Perek Yud Gimel pasuk Lama, that starts off, V'ra'a koin is a nega, that the koin sees the nega affliction of the tzeras, and behold, umareyu amik min ha'ar. And the depth of the nega is deeper than the appearance of the skin. Now, says the Braisa, Kimari Chama, it's like how the sun looks like, which is Amuka Minatzel, which is deeper than the shade, because white looks deeper than black. Now, ask the Gemara of Ahasim Lovin, who there, the nega that's being described in comparison to the sun, that nega is white, like the Pasuk says in Perek Yigim Vayikra, Vim Baharis Lavanahi. And if the Baharis, which is the skin affliction, is white, and from the fact that we're comparing it to the sun, obviously that the sun is white and not red. Says the Gemara, no. Kim Arichama V'loy Kim Arichama, meaning it compares it to the sun. It has the appearance of the sun, but not totally like the appearance of the sun. What does that mean? In one element, we're comparing it to the appearance of the sun, where just like the sun is deeper than the shade, that's how it looks, so too is the appearance of the nega from the skin. But it's not totally like the appearance of the sun, because whereas by the nega it's white, here by the sun it's actually red. Now the Gemara asks, but this according to what the Gemara had assumed originally in its question on Rav Papa from the Braisa, that the sun is white. But then the difficulty is, then why didn't we ask, Hokosam could suffer a fanya, but how would we explain, then why is the sun, if it's white, why is it red in the morning and by the evening? So as the Gemara, that wouldn't be difficult, because bitsafer in the morning, the chalfa, when the sun passes in the east, in the morning, it's in the east, then it passes by abivard de Gan Eden, the garden, the rose garden of the Garden of Eden, which is in the east. As the Pasuk says in the beginning of Bereshit, Perek Beis, Gan Be'eden Mekedem, the garden that's in the Eden, in the east. And Bepanya, in the evening, when it's setting in the west, that's because the Chalfa Pischa de Gehenim, that's when the sun passes through the opening of Gehenim, which it makes it red from the power of the fire that's in Gehenim. So that's how we would explain, although we're saying that it is red, but according to the Havamina that we thought that it was white, why is it red in the morning and the night? For those reasons. Now, Ve'egadami, those actually say that Ipcha, it's actually the other way around. Meaning, in the morning it's red, because it's standing in the east, and its rays of the sun are shining in the other direction towards the west, and therefore it reflects back redness from the fire of Gehenim that's in the east. Because those rays are shining and hitting towards where the Gehenim is, and it's making it red because of that. And actually, when the sun is setting, when it's in the west, then the rays are actually hitting towards the east, and it's hitting towards where the Garden of Eden is, and that's why it gets red from the color of the rose garden that's in Gan Eden. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of the Mishnah in this fourth category that we spoke about. When it's two different things, then it's a mekach tais, a mistaken acquisition, and both parties could back out. So the Mishnah said, yain v'nimtza chaimetz, if it's wine and it turns out that it's vinegar, shnei mechayin lachzim, and both parties could back out, it's a mekach tais, it's not what either one wanted in the sale. Says the Gemara, lei masnitin rebbi hibel rabbanan. Should we say, based on this halacha, that our Mishnah is like rebbi and not like the rabbanan? Now the reason why it's not like the rabbanan is because, as the Gemara is going to quote, they hold that actually when you have something that's spoiled, like wine and vinegar, it's actually considered one species, one type. Where therefore the halacha would be that actually it's not that both of them could back out, only the one that got frauded, because that's similar to the case of when you have high quality wheat and turns out that it's inferior, or inferior and turns out that it's high quality. That would be the case of yayin and chaimetz, because wine, vinegar is spoiled wine. So similarly, the halacha is like Rebbe Nalik Drabbanan. Why? Because the time we learn the Brisa, the Ketun Talmud base. Yayin v'chaimetz min echad hu, the Rabbanan say wine and vinegar is the same type. It's just that one is inferior from the other. And therefore, the halacha would be, for example, let's say you take truma of one on the other type, it would be a valid truma, because that's considered what the pasuk says in Mamidu Yot Chazvari Maisim Imanu. You have to take truma of that thing that you're taking truma on, it's the same thing. So if, let's say, someone comes with a claim of, he says, you owe me wine and vinegar, and he admits to one of them, that he would be liable for an oath on the other one, because that's considered admitting to part of the claim and from the same type of the claim, where it can't be apples and oranges, it has to be both the same type, that yayin lachem is considered the same type. Whereas Rebbe, I mean, he says shnei min, he says no, it's considered two different types. So seemingly our Mishnah is like Rebbe, not like Drabbanan, because if it was like Drabbanan, then why is it that both could back out? It's actually considered the same min, like chitin that was yafas and it turned out to be rois, where we said only the one that got frauded could back out, not the other one too. Says the Gemara, no, afilatim Rabban, you could even say the halacha of our Mishnah is like Drabbanan, because adkan like plig Rabban le the Rebbe. Where do we find in this halacha that we just quoted that Drabbanan disagree with Rebbe? That's ele inyan ma'isa v'tshuma ukadir b'law. That's a unique halacha regarding the separation of ma'isas and tshumas, like we find by Rabbi Law. Because the Amr b'law, he says, minayin l'termin arala yafa, from where do we know that if someone separates from inferior quality on higher quality, meaning what he's supposed to, what he's taking off, that he wants to take off, make it not tevel anymore, is higher quality, and what does he give to the kohen is inferior quality, how do you know such a b'law should trumaster tshuma, that that's a valid tshuma? Because like it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, when it talks about the obligation of separating trumas and maisis, says that if you do this, that you will not carry on yourself a sin. When you take off the choices for it to give to the kayin. So what is the pasuk saying? That you're not going to carry a sin if you're going to separate the choices, meaning from the best. What the inference is, but if you separate from the inferior of that type, that you will carry a sin. Because ultimately, the truma that you're giving will become sanctified as it is in its inferior state. And there's nothing you can do about it to switch it, and or neither to go ahead and to take off truma a second time. Now, says Rebbe Law, im eina kaddish, if taking inferior on the superior that you're trying to be masakin, if it wouldn't be sanctified, then the si is chet lama. Then why would it be considered carrying a sin, but you didn't do anything? Because it's not considered truma. Just go ahead and separate truma again from the superior quality. Says Rabbi Law, Mikan, from here you learn the term in Arala Yafa, that if you do separate truma from the inferior on the superior, shetrumasi truma, that it is a valid truma. And yes, so says the Gemara, that's the source of abundance halacha regarding trumas and maisers, where we view yayin and chaimetz the same as superior and inferior quality as one species. And therefore they say that it's going to be valid truma. Because that's learned out from a pasuk in Bamidbar regarding trumas and maisas. Avla inyan mekech memke, but regarding a sale where one guy wants to purchase wine or vinegar, and he ends up getting something else, although yes, like we pointed out for the halacha trumas and maisas, it's considered the same species, but actually the kula amma, everyone would agree, even the rabbanon, that actually it would not be a kinyan. And as we said, that both of them would be able to back out. Why? Because ikad nichle b'chamra, v'le nichle b'chala, there are those who prefer to have wine and not vinegar. Vikad nichle, and there are those who prefer b'chala, v'le nichle b'chamra, that prefer to have vinegar and not to have wine. In other words, because some want to have the taste of wine and some want to have the taste of vinegar. So therefore, it's not comparable to the halacha of our Mishnah of when he sold them allegedly superior and turns out that it's inferior, because there it has the same taste. And it's actually called the same thing. And what he asked is what was sold to him. It's just that it was changed a little bit. So the one that gets fruited, he could back out, but the other one can't back out because it's a valid mekach. Here, regarding mekach and memcha with wine and vinegar, it's totally not this thing that you had been intending to buy. Although it's considered the same min, and therefore has significance regarding trumas and maisers, that it's valid. But here, regarding sale, it's considered a totally different thing, and therefore even the Rabbanan would agree that both parties can back out, because it's a total mekach tois. It's a mistaken acquisition. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, and continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding Kinyanim, and like the theme of this Perek regarding Hamoicha, regarding when someone sells something. In this case, Hamoicha peris lechaveri. Someone sells produce to his friend. Now, additionally, as Rashbam points out, that they already had set a price on what was being sold for each thing according to a specific amount, or as the Bach amends, that it was already a shahar yidur, already the price was already known. Everyone knows that this is the value. But so that was already taken care of regarding the pricing. Now, additionally, that he was mashach, he already did meshicha, he already drew, which is one of the kinyanim that a person does on a movable item. So for example, as Rashbam points out, this must be talking about that it was either in a simta, which is an alleyway off from the main Rishus HaRabim, or it's talking about a sheared courtyard, where that's where you could go ahead and do meshicha. So says the Mishnah, even though v'loy madad, even though he didn't yet measure the items that he was buying, but he did meshicha, so then kana, he has already acquired the produce. The reason for this is because actually measuring is not an equiv, is not a necessary ingredient for the kinyan to happen. The measuring actually is only it's a gilu milsa, it reveals that how much is being sold. But here, once you already had set a price, you don't need to have how much is being sold. It's already intrinsic in the meshicha that you did a kinyan, and the price is already known, so you just got to go ahead and find out how much there is over there, and therefore, since the price was set, it's a valid kinyan. Now, because as Rashbam points out, if actually that the price was not set yet, either in the marketplace or between them, then even if he actually had measured how much he wants to buy, he said, oh, I want this 5 kilo, and then he did meshicha, it actually would not be a kinyan, as the Gemara says later on the Pevav Meralev, because then none of them are really confident in this sale, because the seller could still raise the price as much as he wants to because they didn't make up a price. And the buyer could also say, oh, I don't want to buy it. I want to buy only if it's very cheap. So even if he did meshicha and he already had measured, it's not going to be a valid kinyan unless you go ahead and you had a set price. So that's the first opening case of our Mishnah regarding that they had a set price. So even though he didn't measure how much he's taking, but if he already did meshicha on that amount, and then they'll say, well, how much did I do? Oh, let's count how much and I'll pay you. Then it's a valid kinyan, even though he didn't measure. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say madad v'loy mashach. Let's say he measured, he has how much he wants to buy, but it yet didn't do a meshicha, didn't draw it. Then leikana, then he has not acquired the peiros. Whereas Rashbam points out, for example, it's talking about that what did he measure with? What type of container is he measured with? Is with the container, the basket of the seller, and it was placed on top of a simta. Because actually it was measured and placed into the utensils of the consumer, then actually he would acquire, as the Gemara says later on, the payment alv, because it's going to be in his utensils. But if it was measured, even though it was measured, but it was in the utensils of the seller, and he didn't yet do meshicha, then he has not acquired it. Continues the Mishnah. Im hoyi pikeach, if the consumer was intelligent, what he should do is secher es mekayman. What he does is he rents the place of where the produce is on, as the Gemara will explain, if it's in the domain of the owner. Moreover, as the Gemara will explain, it's talking about large bundles. That's why our Mishnah is describing cases of meshicha, where it's not normal to go ahead and lift it up, because the halacha meshicha is only appropriate by things which are not usually lifted up because they're very heavy. So we're talking about very heavy loads. As the Gemara will explain, the Pevam and Alf. Because in contrast, continues the Mishnah, Halakeach pishta michaveira, if someone purchases flax from his friend, which as Gemara will explain, is talking about small bundles, there, hareza loikana, there he will not acquire it with meshicha, as we said in the Reisha of our Mishnah, achil tzitzileno mimokam lamokam, until he moves it from one place to another place, in other words, that he lifts it up, and he takes it from that place to another place where the Mishnah is just saying the normative way. It's because not usually normal for someone to pick up what he's buying until he's trying to pick it up to take it where he wants to go. So for those types of things where it's very light, and you could do Hagbah, that actually only Hagbah acquires it, not Mashiach. Whereas the Reish of the Mishnah is talking about heavy things where you can't really pick it up and you really just schlep it, you draw it, where there the primary thing is Mashiach, as we said, even if you didn't do Medida, whereas if you did a Medida measuring, if you didn't do Mashiach, it's not going to be a Kenyan. Now concludes the Mishnah. If the thing that he's buying was still attached to the ground and he just rips a little bit from it, then Kana has already acquired the whole bunch, which, as the Gemara will explain, the Peizayin Meralf, this halacha. Now, related to the halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following halacha from Amr Basi Amr Biyechna. He says, Madad, if the consumer measures with the kalim of the meicher, so he's measuring, oh, how much he wants to go, he's in the store of the seller, but it's not his own container, it's the seller's container. V'nichal gabi simter. And then the consumer goes and he puts what he's buying on the simta, where it's as if the seller put it into the domain of the lekeach, as Rashbam also points out, it must be talking about, as we already explained in the Reish of the Mishnah too, that the price was already set. Now, what is a simta? Rashbam says it's an area that sticks out from the Rishus HaRabim, where there, in contrast to the primary public domain, people have permission to put their objects over there, just like it would be in the situation of a shared courtyard. Where, because it's not usually used for people of the public domain generally to walk over there. So it says, in such a situation, so then the consumer has acquired the object that he bought. Now, on that, he asks, Shemalei Shama Rebbe, so Reb Zera is asking his Rebbe, Rebasi, that maybe the Rebbe, maybe the teacher, Rebasi, didn't hear from Rabbi Yechonin, who he was quoting this halacha from, only if he measured it into the consumer's own basket, where then by putting that basket down in the simta, then he has permission to put his kalim over there like a chatzar shotvin, and then, since it's in his own kli, so therefore he has acquired it. But what he was telling Ravasi is that, but what I would think is that if you put in a simta without a kli, like the way he described it, then he's not acquiring it because he didn't do Mashiach, and neither is it a distinct domain to be considered Lekech's own Rishus, because it's a simta. Now, so too, says Rashbam, it's the same thing in the reverse. If, let's say, he had it in his Kli, but not in the simta, let's say it was in the consumer's Kli in Rishus Ram, he also would have no permission to put it in, he wouldn't acquire it. So what Reb Zera is telling Ravasi is that although you're saying over from Reb Yechonon that if someone measures and he puts it in the simta, he has acquired it, it's not that if you just put the product in the simta, because what are you doing by doing that? Reb Asi was allegedly saying that from Reb Yechonon, that because that's like the Rishus Lekech, because he's telling him, hey, put it over here, and that's not any more the Rishus of the Meicher, and since people ought to put this stuff here, by just doing that, he's considered in his own domain. To which Reb Zera says, I don't understand, it's not his own domain, because it's, and you're not saying it's putting in his kli, and so he didn't do Mashiach, so how is he going to acquire it? Maybe you only heard this from Reb Yechonon in a situation where it was in the Lekeach's kli, where that wouldn't work in Rosh Hashanah, but if it's in the Simta, oh, that's when it would work for to be a Kenyan. And that Omalei, that Reb Asa responded to Reb Zera's question. He says, Dami Haim Rabbanan, this rabbi, meaning referring to Reb Zera, is comparable to the Legami in Shishmaita, to someone that never learned a Talmudic discourse. Madad l'teich kupasai? What do you mean? Regarding this case that you're describing, when someone measures it from what he's buying from the seller into his basket in a simta, which is a side road off the public thoroughfare. Memra bayi? What, that needs a teaching from Rabbi Yechonon? What do you mean? Even in the domain of the seller, the kalim of the lekeach acquires. So what, in the simta? Or you think Rabbi Yechonon is teaching that saying that he could acquire in the simta, which is not anymore the seller's domain, that it has to be in, if it's in his own basket, even in the Meicher's own domain, it would acquire if it was in the Lekeach's own basket. Obviously, says Rav Asi, it's not like you're asking, it's rather like I'm saying over that, even if it's in the Simta, not in the Kli, the Lekeach has acquired it from the Meicher. Now, ask the Gemara, Kibla Mine, did Reb Zera accept this rebuttal from Reb Asi, or did he not accept it and he still held this question as valid, and that the halacha of Reb Yechonon would only apply if it's in the Kalev of Lekeach in the Simta? So the Gemara, Tashema, come in here, that must be that Reb Zera did accept that the appropriate teaching of Reb Yechonon was even if it's not in the kli of the lekeach. Because the Amr Rabbi Yannai, who was the teacher of Rabbi Yechanan, so obviously that's what Rabbi Yechanan was going like, he said that Amr Rebbe said as follows, Chatzah Hashutfin, a sheared courtyard, which as we said, that's the equivalent of a simta. They both are not the distinct area of the lekeach, but it's sheared that he could do certain things, just like a simta, in contrast to like a Rosh HaSarabim or the domain of a meicher, says Rabbi Yannai, from Rebbe, that in such a sheared courtyard, Kainin, that they could acquire an object that's being bought, zeh mizeh, one from the other, as the Gemara is going to explain. My love, agabe karka, isn't this case talking about, what do you mean, even if it's on the ground itself, which is like Rabasi said. Now, obviously explains the Rashbam that Reb Zeir must have accepted the rebuttal of Rabasi when he had heard this teaching of Rabbi Yannai, which that's where Rabbi Yechanan is coming from, his teacher Rabbi Yannai, that you see that you could acquire just in the simta, just in the chatzah shutfin, even on the floor, not even in the keli of the lekech. So the Gemara, no, it's not talking about on the ground. He could acquire in the chatzah shutfin or the simta, if it's in his own basket, then he could acquire, but not on the floor itself. That's nothing. What'd you do? Didn't go into the domain de l'kech to acquire it as his rishos, and he didn't do mashicha, so therefore that would not be a kinyan. And actually says the Gemara, hachanam mistaber. Actually, the way we refute the raya is actually more logical, meaning to say that, not that necessarily that Reb Zeir accepted rebuttal. Because the Amr Yaakov, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, he says a teaching from Rabbi Yechanan as follows. He says, Madad, someone measures how much that he wants to buy. V'nich agabi simta, and he puts it onto a simta, says Rabbi Yaakov from Rabbi Yechanan, that loikana, he has not acquired it. Now, kashna dadi, we have a contradiction in the teachings of Rabbi Yechanan, where on the one hand we have Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yannai, where we have their teaching from Rabbi Yechanan that by just putting in the simta, lekech does acquire it, from the teaching of Rabbi Yaakov named Rabbi Yechanan that says that he has not acquired it. So says the Gemara, Elalav Shemamina, rather, isn't it obvious that we can infer from this that Reb Asi said the truth that he heard from his teaching Rabbi Yechanan that you do acquire in the simta. And so to Rabbi Yaakov heard from Rabbi Yechanan that you do not acquire, also heard correctly from Rabbi Yechanan. So how do we resolve that? Because Khan must be, says the Gemara, that in the case of Reb Asi who said that like from the name of Yechanan, did you do acquire in the simta? It's because talking about b'maydid l'teich kupasai, when you measure it into his basket, the Reb Zeir was asking. Whereas Khan, Rabbi Yaakov, who was saying in the name of Yechanan that you do not acquire in the simta, is b'maydid al-gabe karkas, when you measure it and you put it onto the ground, where there you're not acquiring. So if it says the Gemara, Shema Mino, what we could infer is, as we said, that actually, very likely, Reb Zeir did not accept the rebuttal of Reb Asi. Because it actually makes sense from these different contradictory teachings, as Reb Zeir had pointed out. And rather, Reb Asi had made a mistake in the way he understood the teaching of Rabbi Yechanan, that when he heard that Rabbi Yechanan said that you could acquire in the simta, he assumed that that would be even when it's not in the Caleb of the Kech, as he had said before. What do you mean? That needs to be taught. That could even be in the Rishuts of the Meicher. On that says the Gemara that, as we see from the contradictory teaching, it's very likely that Reb Asi made a mistake, and Reb Zeir did not accept that rebuttal, because the teaching of Rabbi Yannai does not prove that point, because actually we see from Rabbi Yaakov that you have to resolve it in a different way, that actually that teaching was only if it was in a kupa of the lekech. So the Gemara continues on this theme. It says, Toshema, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah, which is a difficulty on Rav Asi, and again, therefore that same idea that maybe that's why Reb Zeir actually did not accept the rebuttal of Rav Asi. Because our Mishnah teaches, Madad v'loy mashach. If someone measured how much he wants to, oh, you want to have, okay, let me see, I want this basket full of the produce. And again, the price is set. But, says the Mishnah, loy kana, he has not acquired it, because again, as we said, he didn't do any kinyan, he didn't do kinyan of mashicha. Now, as Rashbam points out, but obviously the case must be talking about when he measured and he put it on the ground. Why? Because if it's in his basket, then it would be difficult according to everyone, according to Rabbi Yannai, according to Rabbi Yaakov, according to Rabbi Asi, because if it's in his basket, then of course it would acquire. So rather must be talking about that it's that the lekech does not have his own kli. Therefore, it's difficult only according to Rabbi Asi, because he said that when you put on the ground, as the Gemara is saying, my lav besimta, isn't it talking about even that he put it on the ground in the simta? And Rav Asi says in such a case that he acquires, and yet here in the Mishnah we learn that loikon, he does not acquire it. So I think, well, loy, no, it's not talking about in the simta, it's talking about Birshas Rabim, it's talking about where it's in the public domain. And there, actually, even if he measured it in his own basket, he would not acquire it, because there the Kelev Lekech does not acquire, even though it's in his own Kelev, if it's in the Rosh Hashanah, as Gemara is going to shortly explain. Now, the Gemara, however, asked, but Ihachi, if that's the case, then name Eresha. And look at the first part of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Mashach v'loy modat kana. If he did Meshicha, even though he didn't do Medida, he acquires, because the price was already set, and they did a Kinyan. The fact that he didn't measure, measures only to say how much is being sold, but whatever was being sold was a price, and they knew, and no one's backing out, and they already did a Kinyan of Meshicha. But that asked the Gemara, Meshicha b'shosra mikanya? What? You just described that the Mishnah is talking about that it's in Rishus Rabbim. Meshicha, and that's the case of you say Madad v'loy Mashach, that then is Loikana, even though it's on the ground, where it doesn't contradict Ravasi, because it's talking about Rishus Rabbim. If it's Rishus Rabbim, how do we understand the first halacha of the Mishnah? What? That he did Meshicha? Does Meshicha acquire in the public domain? But v'abayi v'rava damar tavayu, but both Abayi and Rava say, which we already explained this on Dafayin Vav Mabez, that Mesira, the kinyan of handing over, for example, let's say something very large, like a boat or a large animal, that's kind of b'shusram, that would acquire even the public domain, or a courtyard that's not owned by either one of them. Meshicha, however, which is the case we're describing, drawing something, kind of b'simta only acquires in a simta, which is like a no man's land, but therefore it's everyone's land, everyone can put their stuff over there, or b'chatzei shoshneim, or it's a shared courtyard. And Vagba, koinem b'chol makom, and lifting up an object could be acquired anywhere. But one thing we see from their statement is that Meshicha does not acquire in Rosh Hashanah. If that's the case, so how do we understand our resolution for Ravasi from our Mishnah by saying that the case of Madav Alei Mashach is Lekanek, has told my, although he put it on the ground, it's not in the symptom of Rosh Hashanah, but then how do we understand the case right before that? When he was Mashach Vulei Madav, that he is Kana, well, how could you do Meshicha if it's in Rosh Hashanah? Says the Gemara, my Mashach Nami Dekatani, it's not a difficulty. What does the Mishnah mean in the opening case when it says, if you do Meshicha, you're Kaina? It's, yeah, the case told me that we're in a Rosh Hashanah. That's how we explain the next case. But it's saying that you do Meshicha, may Rosh Hashanah l'simta. You have to pull it from the public domain to a simta. You're right, in the public domain, if you only pull it, it's not going to work. But if you pull it to the simta, then it's going to work, that Meshicha there in the simta. No, but then the Gemara asks, Ihachib, if that's the case, that as you just described that, yeah, but the Mishnah itself is not talking about in the Simta, but rather it's talking about in the public domain, well, the Ein Masefa, look further in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, after these two cases, it says, Im Hayipikeach, if the consumer was intelligent, then Seicha Es Mekayman. What he does is, he could avoid the whole thing, doesn't have to schlep, doesn't have to do anything, he could acquire the thing right away. How so? By renting the space. If he rents the space, it's his land, automatically what's inside of it, his Rishos is kind of him, Seicha Es Mekayman. On that as the Gemara, but v'ibr shos haram, if you're describing the cases of our Mishnah in the public domain, miman agar, who exactly is it going to be renting space in the public domain? You can't rent a spot in the street. Rather, must be talking about that it's in a simto or in the chatzar shutfin, where there you could go ahead and rent from the people in that mavoi that's opening up into that simto, or from the people that have that shared property, so then you could have a place of renting over there. But if it's in the public domain, how exactly are you renting a spate? So that says the Gemara, oh, hachikama. No, you're right. This that the Mishnah continues in this third case and says that if he was intelligent, that what he should do is do hagbah, that's actually talking about a totally different case. You're right. The first two cases are talking about Rishos HaRabim. When it continues, the Mishnah is talking about a different case. The Mishnah is describing the imbishos bailami. Now, if it's in the domain of the original owner, so there we have a problem that you can't do Meshicha. So what are you going to do over there? That's what the Mishnah says. If he's intelligent, then Seicher is Mekayman. Then he should go ahead and rent the spot of wherever it is in the owner's domain. Then it becomes his domain, and then he automatically acquires it. So the way the Mishnah is teaching us in that third case is that there is a place that if he's intelligent, what he should do is rent the spot in the owner's domain so that he could acquire it in that way. Because the Mishnah is coming to teach us different ways of making acquisitions, as the Mishnah opens up regarding that Meshicha is Kaina. And the Mishnah also teaches us that renting the space, just like we said by flax, that there's a different kin that we said that that's by lifting up. And regarding another case in the Mishnah, we spoke about Meshicha. So the Mishnah comes to teach us another time when a different way of being Kaina, which is in the Rishus of the Meicher, that then if you're intelligent, what you could do is very easily is that you could just rent the space and then you acquire it, and therefore it's not a contradiction on Rav Asi from our Mishnah in his interpretation, but it's also not difficult on Rav Zeira, where it's not necessarily that he accepted the rebuttal of Reb Asi, which is this machlekes in the opinion of Reb Yechanan, if this halacha, when he measured and he put it onto a simta, what's the halacha that Reb Yechanan says you're requiring? Is it like Reb Asi, that it's even if you put it on the ground, because it's still not the domain of the Meicher, and it still could be considered like it's Lekech's Rishus on some level? Or is it like Reb Zera said that no, it's still not his domain, and he didn't do Meshicha, and it's not in his Kli, you're not going to be kind, it's only if you put it into Lekech's Kli, and then it's in the Simta, in contrast to when it's in the Rishus Rabim, then it would be a valid Kinyan, but again, if it's on the ground itself, then Reb Zera could be holds that he did not accept the rebuttal of Reb Asi, that it would not be a Kinyan according to Reb Yechanan.